Glory to the Father who has woven garments of glory for the resurrection. Worship to the Son who is clothed in them at his rising. Thanksgiving to the Spirit who keeps them for all the saints. To the one holy and living God be honor and praise now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Some of you have probably heard me in the past say that it's important, at least for me, with respect to culture, to be both a little highbrow and a little lowbrow. I think those two things need to go together. And so, representative of the former, this church will soon be filled with the beauty of the Durafle Requiem, some in this service and even more so at the next service. One of the noteworthy things about Durafle's composition is its departure from the intense fire and wrath of other traditional masses for the dead. And while some of that language remains, the overall feeling is one of peace and eternal rest for the faithful departed in the heavenly Jerusalem. So I hope that you'll experience a little bit of that. And so now that I've mentioned that, I think I probably prepared you for the fact that I'm going to swing low for a moment and talk about the music of pop star Katy Perry. When her last studio album was released in 2013, Perry made the usual rounds in the media to promote her new album. And in her interview with NPR, she described what it was like to grow up in a home where she was only allowed to watch a kind of twisted version of Christianity on the TBN network on TV. Her parents, for example, made her call deviled eggs angel eggs, you know, because that's a safer way to think about that. And it was a heavily rule-bound form of Christian faith. It was a mere shadow of the gospel, the good news which is most true when it is marked by freedom and unconditional love. Well, apparently Perry unshackled herself from that kind of caricature of following Jesus, and she began walking towards something very different, something like the song Unconditionally on that new album that she was promoting. Oh no, did I get too close? Oh, did I almost see what's really on the inside? All your insecurities, all the dirty laundry, never made me blink one time. Unconditional. Unconditionally, I will love you unconditionally. There is no fear now. Let go and just be free. I will love you unconditionally. So come just as you are to me. This song, Perry said in her interview, is about universal love. It's about this higher love, or that love that hits you for the first time and feels like a car crash, or maybe it's the love of a mother seeing, you know, her firstborn child. But it's almost like a spiritual level of love and acceptance. It sounds to me as though Perry was following Jesus more closely than she might imagine, wanting to reflect the kind of love that Jesus did in his life and in his death. But she doesn't see that and doesn't call herself a Christian these days, even though the name of Jesus is written on her left wrist, her first tattoo, which she got when she was 18 years old. In that same interview, Perry was asked about being a role model for teenagers. It's a label that she wants to keep at arm's length. She knows that she will fail them because she's a human being. As the parents of those teenagers might say, Perry is no saint. Or is she? That's the question I want to ask this morning on All Saints Sunday, because nowhere in the New Testament is the word saint used to describe someone who belongs in the Hall of Fame for heroic beyond the reach of the rest of us Christianity. Rather, it's a word that includes everyone, everyone who follows Jesus. As Eugene Peterson has written, baptism marks a radically new way to understand ourselves and one another, not by race, not by language, not by parents and family, not by politics, remember that, not by intelligence, not by gender, not by behavior. All of these various ways of accounting for ourselves are significant, but none is definitive. Holy baptism defines us as holy, as saints. Baptism is definitive. He goes on to say, we continue to maintain this identity by keeping company with people who have firsthand knowledge of who we are. These same men and women embarrass us with their haphazardness, exhilarate us with their joy, offend us by their inconsistent lives, comfort us with their compassion, bully and criticize us, encourage and bring out the best out of us, bore us with their blandness, stimulate us with their enthusiasm. But we don't choose them. God chooses them. We keep company with the men and women God chooses, these saints. We're only saints by the grace of God. And being one of those saints doesn't mean living a perfect life. It means living a redeemed life. It doesn't mean that you're no longer a sinner. It means that you're a forgiven sinner, that you are both loved and human at the same time. It doesn't mean that you get turned into a stone sculpture. It means that you get turned into a living, breathing, honest-to-God disciple. It means that you get to put on your traveling shoes and start following Jesus, knowing that you will surely stumble. That journey with other Christians begins at the baptismal font, where, as we will experience in this service, new saints are clothed in a holiness that comes only from God's love for them. And then hopefully, as we come to appreciate that love more and more, we bear witness to that same love, to what God, through Jesus, has done for us. And that's what evangelism is really all about. It's not about converting people. That's God's work, not our work. What we do is we simply bear witness to God's presence in our lives and in the world around us. It is the Holy Spirit that opens hearts and adds saints to the community of faith known as the church. Now, I also believe that the Holy Spirit was at work in helping us get the final missing pieces of our church staff in place by the beginning of this fall. And our new associate rector, who is our celebrant today, the Reverend Liz Parker, and our parishioner, Cameron Masumi, who is helping us at this service as well, are now organizing our new evangelism council, which Cameron will lead. So please pray for him, for Liz, and for those who will be serving on that council. They will be equipping us to bear witness to God's love, which includes everything from how we welcome guests within these walls to how we tell our story, how we bear witness to God's love among friends and strangers beyond these walls. Now that our church staff is set after a season of transitions and ready to step into the future together with all of us, the work of the Evangelism Council is really the most important work ahead of us. It will also involve all of us, because it will take all of us bearing witness to God's love to grow this church, trusting that the Holy Spirit will finish that work. We should want others to experience what we have experienced as we have watched new saints be washed in God's love in this font and be fed with that same love at this table week after week. So where's a good place to start? Well, one of the most important ways that we bear witness to Jesus is by how we treat one another, how we talk to one another as the body of Christ. On the Saturday after Labor Day, members of the vestry and various ministry leaders were invited to a workshop in St. Bede's Chapel. And this was an opportunity to introduce new staff members and to describe some of their areas of responsibility and how to best interact with them. And at the end of that workshop, I offered some thoughts about healthy boundaries and healthy relationships with one another in any Christian community. And because I received so much positive feedback about that, those community norms are now posted on our new church website at palmerchurch.org. It's actually one of the things that's at the moment highlighted on the rotator. You can also find it, those community norms, under the About Us tab. And I hope that you'll take a moment to ponder that. It's going to be a living document, of course. Paying attention to our relationships with people in these pews, the ones who sit around us, is really foundational to the work of evangelism. Without it, our attempts to bear witness to Jesus outside these walls will just be a clanging cymbal, just lots of noise signifying nothing, and not like the letter to the Ephesians, which refers to knowing your love toward all the saints. That's all the people around us. We bear witness to Jesus in the way that we are as a community. So remember Jesus as you encounter people, as though his name was tattooed on your wrist like it is on Katy Perry's wrist. In a 2009 interview with Katie Couric, Katy Perry said this about her Jesus tattoo. She said, "I knew I wanted this on me because no matter how much changes around me or how much I change, there's not really an eraser for this." She says that when she plays the guitar, it stares right back at me. It's like, remember, you came from this, and you can always go back to it. Without knowing it, Perry was echoing our baptismal liturgy in the Book of Common Prayer. When new saints are created through the waters of baptism, they are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. And some of that language is an echo of this reading from Ephesians. No matter how spectacularly they fail, we can always go back and be reminded of that moment when we were loved unconditionally and called a child of God, one of God's saints. And glory to God, that is what we are today, as we join our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Amen.